The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, good. Thank you. There's loads of little things that I'd really love to talk about. I know we've got the big things, but first of all, back to yesterday's discussion when I was asked, how many rainy days do we have in Israel nowadays as opposed to the 13 that are being predicted will eventually come about in another 20 or 30 years from now? And I didn't know the answer, so I apologize for that, but I do now. And apparently on average, Israel has 48 rainy days a year. And within 30 years, that's going to reduce down from 48 to 13.
Wow.
So that's kind of order of difference that we're talking about. That's astonishing, right? I mean, you know, if we ever doubted global warming and all the rumors about global warming and change of climate and stuff like that, I mean, you know, I think that it's become almost something that one cannot deny any longer. Yeah. I mean, it really is evident for everybody to see. The other thing I just wanted to mention was, I don't know if you guys have been watching this wonderful circus that's been going on in the UK with the NATO meeting and all the kind of Trudeau, Macron, Trump, you know, Boris kind of stuff. It's just, it's entertaining. I think it's light entertainment in comparison to what we're having to put up with over here, which is pretty heavy entertainment, you know, so we're enjoying that too. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. You look, it makes, I think the whole level and the whole standard of politics has been reduced to such a childish level when you've got these speakers standing around, these world leaders standing around and making fun of another world leader. Yuck. Yeah, surely.
I know. It's the whole thing is quite funny, actually. And there was this great situation that arose apparently at Buckingham Palace when the Queen expected Princess Anne to be in the receiving line for President Trump and Melania when they arrived. And, of course, Princess Anne had made sure she wasn't in the receiving line. Apparently was told off by the Queen in front of everybody for not being in the right place. But a lot of Brits have come to her defense saying, Anne is us. You know, she represents what we would do by snubbing Trump when he arrives at the palace. So that's also been good for a bit of entertainment.
Crazy. Absolutely unbelievable. Closer to home for you, Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday met with the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. That was in Lisbon. Do we know what was discussed at this meeting?
Well, there was a press conference or some statements that were made at least to the press. Actually, before the meeting, at the start of the meeting, Prime Minister Netanyahu, of course, making a special trip to go to Lisbon to meet with Mike Pompeo. So one imagines that there must have been some pretty significant issues that they had to talk about face to face, which couldn't be discussed remotely. And of course, the opportunity with Pompeo being in Europe seems to have been too good for Netanyahu to pass up. And as we spoke about yesterday, he even had to try and reschedule this dreaded Likud Central Committee meeting in order to meet with Pompeo. But it all seems to be about Iran. And Netanyahu made a statement at the start of his meeting saying that Israel is working to stop Iranian belligerence throughout the Middle East. And so not only is that a statement that Israel is being proactive in the work that it's doing in order to address Iranian issues, but the point that that Prime Minister Netanyahu was making was that it's not only about securing the safety of Israel, that this is about securing the safety of countries which are beyond Israel's borders, potentially other countries within the Middle East, and even further afield, European Western countries who might otherwise have been subject to some of Iran's slightly less palatable kind of activities. And, of course, there is a lot of stuff that's going on that we don't necessarily know about or can't know about. But we do know, for example, that there is a lot of conflict between Iran and Iraq, with the Iraqis also being active. We also know that the Iranians have taken some actions against the Saudi Arabians just within the Middle Eastern area. And of course, Iran does present a huge threat to Western countries in general. So this apparently was all about Iran, at least on the face of it, according to what was said in the public. You know, that is the reason why the Prime Minister decided that he needed to fly to see Mike Pompeo. It's interesting that he also made some comments about the fact that the U.S. sanctions are really starting to work and they really are weakening the Iranian economy and weakening Iran in general. And I think that, you know, it's been an interesting exercise for the U.S. To really take action, significant action against Iran to pull itself out of this agreement that the P5+1 countries signed up to, and to put a lot of pressure and economic sanctions on not only Iranian oil and the purchase of Iranian oil, but indeed on other countries who are buying Iranian oil and companies around the world that are involved with the Iranian oil industry and the Iranian economy in general. And of course, stopping the flow of funds through the United States from Iran and Iranian related companies. So huge sanctions, huge pressure that's been put on the Iranian economy. And according to what Prime Minister Netanyahu is saying, those sanctions and those actions are really beginning to take their toll on the Iranian economy and to bear some fruit. So this is obviously an ongoing conversation. The whole issue of Iran is not going to go away anytime soon in spite of where we are right now. And I think we're just going to have to keep an eye to see how things progress with Iran. But obviously what we're seeing right now between Israel and the United States is coordination and some, you know, common views and some common ground being found at the moment, cooperation between the two countries. And that's probably what most of the meeting was about in Lisbon yesterday.
Mm. And at the same time, an Iranian weapons storage facility in Syria was attacked. So is that a coincidence? So, yeah. What do we know about that?
Well, no coincidence, of course. There's no information that we've been given officially, but apparently there were large explosions that were reported at this Iranian base in eastern Syria. And apparently there was an unidentified aircraft that targeted this weapons depot. That's really what we know. We're told that Iranian militias did try to fire anti-aircraft at this aeroplane that was spotted, or at an aeroplane that was spotted shortly before the attack. And then soon after that, there was this huge explosion. The weapons depot was hit. Large explosions apparently could be seen from quite a distance. That's really what we know about it. I mean, obviously, Prime Minister Netanyahu made his statement that Israel is active in countering Iranian aggression. And I think that this action that we've seen, and we assume that it probably came from the Israeli side, although we can't be sure because nobody's really confirming it, and there's no space for us to actually identify that weapons depot was hit by Israeli fire. But to the extent that we believe that at least has some Israeli involvement in it, it's some evidence of how Israel is really getting involved beyond Israel's borders in order to try and make sure that Iran doesn't present the sort of threat that it could present if it was just allowed to do whatever it wanted without any checks and balances and without anybody following the movement of their weapons. I mean, we've seen masses of weapons and ammunition and all kinds of firepower being moved from Iran, not only towards Syria and towards Lebanon, but indeed towards Yemen as well. And I know that the U.S. has been involved in taking some action against a shipment of goods, of ammunition that was headed towards Yemen. So between Israel and the U.S., they really are keeping a very, very careful eye on all of these Iranian actions. And, you know, I've mentioned this on a few occasions before, but I always find myself feeling quite astonished when I think about it, which is the fact that there are so many Iranian nuclear scientists who have met their demise in one way or another through little kind of actions, little explosions, little car bombs going off here and there, people being bumped off their bicycles accidentally.
Maybe they're just careless. Maybe they're just a careless bunch.
Well, that's a possibility, Howard, I have to say. Mm-hmm. In the absence of any information to the contrary, I suppose one could safely assume that that's an option. But it seems too coincidental in my humble estimation. It's just weird how it's just these nuclear scientists who meet their demise. Nobody else who rides bicycles like that seems to be knocked off. Nobody else who drives cars like that seems to find their cars exploding accidentally when they get in. One can reach whatever conclusions you reach, but there's no doubt that these little drip feed actions, which obviously are attempted under the radar. They're not designed to create huge news. It's just a little incident here and a little incident there. And when you add it all up together, it actually starts to create quite a substantial story. And so, you know, one has to draw whatever conclusions you like to draw. My conclusion is that I think the Mossad are doing something of an unbelievable job in terms of keeping an eye on what's going on and trying really just to take out small pockets of influential people in order just to disrupt the whole process and the whole action which surrounds the Iranian nuclear industry. That's, you know, my assumption, my conclusion. Everybody is entitled to reach whatever conclusion they like about it.
Absolutely. And interesting that there might be signs that things are changing at the United Nations. I was fascinated by this as well when I saw for the first time that there's been a bit of a change. Tell us about it.
Well, there has been a bit of a change, and this was actually a vote that was taken on Tuesday, which is a vote that comes to the United Nations every single year and has been since 1977, okay? And this is a vote that mandates a special division for Palestinian rights within the UN Secretariat, and which effectively devotes promoting the Palestinian narrative against Israel. I mean, that's really what this vote is all about. And this vote has been carried year after year after year by a significant majority of nations voting at the United Nations. And in fact, this year was no exception. In other words, it was carried by a majority of 87 to 23, with 54 countries abstaining. But there is a significance, and the significance was that 11 of European countries that have previously actually voted or abstained, voted in favor or abstained from this vote, this year decided to vote against the resolution. And I think that this is very significant. It doesn't mean that the resolution wasn't carried. It doesn't mean that there was any change to the status quo, but it's just a little drip feed action or just a little notification that there are signs of things changing within the United Nations. And all of a sudden, 11 countries decide to vote against this. And those countries, I'm going to go through them very quickly because I think they make for interesting reading. Germany, Czech Republic, Austria, Bulgaria, Denmark, Estonia, Greece, Lithuania, Netherlands, Romania, and Slovakia. These are countries that previously supported this resolution either by voting in favor or by abstaining, and this year decided to vote against. Surprisingly, there were two countries from Europe who did vote in favor, being Malta and Cyprus. Cyprus was a huge surprise for all of us. But of course, France and the UK and Italy, countries like that, actually abstained from the vote. There were a number of 14 countries that abstained from the vote. I just sense that there are little changes. Just a feeling that I have.
Well, I mean, even the fact that that France has passed that resolution within their own environment, saying that anti-Zionism is a form of anti-Semitism, you're definitely starting to see these shifts happening. They have to start first within their own countries before they can be exported to the United Nations, I'd imagine.
I absolutely agree, but I just get a feeling, you know, the point that I was making when we had that discussion about the French resolution is that, you know, the feeling, the anti-Israel feeling, the narrative, the anti-Israel narrative that we see all across the world comes from the top down. In other words, you see people standing up at the United Nations, you see resolutions at the United Nations being carried in an anti-Israel fashion. And then you take it down a step to the local governments of those countries and you see anti-Israel narrative being promoted at the governmental level. And of course, it's natural that citizens of those individual countries will take on the similar view. If that's what the government is saying, is that what the United Nations is feeling? Who are we to disagree with that? And so as we see it filtering down from the top, from the United Nations, from individual countries, from, you know, bit by bit, coming from the top down, I think it tends to start to influence people in those countries. And I certainly hope that that's the case because, you know, that is does signal to me a great start of something. And I don't expect that there are going to be substantial changes within a week or two or with a month or two, or even not within a year or two. But I think it's a good place to start. And so, you know, it's a good place also for us to end the week and go into Shabbat getting this positive feeling that there are changes and that, you know, hopefully, in the fullness of time, Israel will be allowed to assume her true and rightful position in the international community of nations, without the stigma that seems to be constantly attached to her.
Absolutely, Anthony Rach. It is 8 o'clock. This is where we love and leave you. I'll only be back to speak to you next year, because you're not in on a Friday. I'm away for the next few weeks. So hope you have a great December, great Hanukkah. And I thank you for all your incredible work over the over this past year.
I wish you a good holiday, good vacation, and I look forward to speaking to you when you're back.
Thanks, Anthony. It is just after 8 o'clock. A very good morning.